Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Russell Brunson, and welcome back to the Marketing Secrets Podcast. All right, so today I got something really cool for you. Recently, I got interviewed by Ian Stanley. If you don't know him, he is a really good marketer. Some really fun offers. In fact, the first time I ever saw him, there was an offer he had for, it was one of those like survival straws that you can, you know, if the world's coming to an end, you can drink these straws and it'll filter your water. And the ad was him like downtown New York walking into the most disgusting bathroom of all time. And he got down into the toilet himself and drank out of his survival straw out of a New York toilet. It was the most amazing video offer of all time. So that's why I first saw him, and I've been following him for years. He wrote a really good book called, he's called Confessions of an Advertising Hitman, which is really good as well. Anyway, just a really cool marketer who happened to move to Boise, Idaho, and lives here now. He's got a team, and they're creating amazing offers and products and doing cool stuff. And anyway, we always joke that our goal is to get all the big marketers and funnel builders to move to Boise. So we're working on getting all y'all to come move out here. But Ian's out here. I'm out here. Obviously, I run my masterminds and stuff, and he runs his here as well. So yeah, a lot of cool people come to Boise because of what Ian's doing and what I'm trying to do. And so anyway, the other day he asked me if I would come speak at one of the virtual events that he was doing at his, he calls it the Hoffice, which is his house/office. It's the house he bought just to turn it into an office. And there was, anyway, long story short, I said yes. And so a couple Saturdays ago, I drove up there and we had a chance to hang out and talk for an hour. And it was really fun. We talked about all sorts of stuff, from business to life to, you know, about a million things in between. Some of it was goofy and funny. Some of it was really serious and fun. So anyway, I hope you have fun listening in on this this interview. It's about an hour long, so I'm going to break it into two episodes. The first one you have a chance to listen to now, and then the next one I'll release in a few days from now. But this is a behind-the-scenes interview where Ian Stanley was interviewing me for his highest end members of his mastermind group, all about business and life. And I hope you guys enjoy part one of this interview.
So the big question is this: how are entrepreneurs like us, who didn't cheat and take on venture capital, who are spending money from our own pockets, how do we market in a way that lets us get our products and our services and the things that we believe in out to the world and yet still remain profitable? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Russell Brunson, and welcome to Marketing Secrets.
You guys, we got Russell Brunson with us. I don't even know if he needs an introduction, to be perfectly honest. He loves secrets.
My license plate said so.
Yeah, when he came in, of course, he's got this license plate that just says secrets on it. And I'm like, oh, that makes perfect sense. And I just wonder, what's the weirdest thing somebody said to you about seeing that? Because you got to be like, this guy made his money in some weird way.
Oh, yeah. It's like when I first got started, I've been in this game 20 years now. Like when people were like, what do you do for a living? I'm like, oh, I sell stuff on the internet. And they're like, oh, it was always either like, so do you sell things on eBay or are you in porn? That was the two things. And
those are the only two options.
That's really the secrets people ask. Like, yeah. So like, what is the secret? Like, what, you know, anyway, so it's usually something related to that.
And which one was it?
Yeah. eBay.
Of course. Well, do you want to give any background? I mean, Russell started ClickFunnels. You've done a million other things. You just bought Dan Kennedy's company, which is pretty amazing.
Really,
we'll
fun.
Have to talk about that.
Yeah. And about a dozen other companies this year. We bought a lot of companies.
Jeez,
yeah.
Really? Okay.
We don't talk much about it, but we haven't been doing that.
Okay.
We're in
I'd
acquisition
love to,
phase.
To hear about that, because that's something Cam and I are starting to do. I've realized that trying to create almost passive income using, like, whether it's crypto or stocks or this or that, it's like, doesn't actually fit within what I know.
Yeah.
Like, what if we just buy companies that...
What's crazy is you can buy them for free right now too, which is nuts. I can talk about it if you want, but yeah, it's
definitely
crazy.
Do. Okay. Yeah. Let's start with, because you actually said you've been doing this for 20 years. I want to know about your first dollar you made online.
Yeah.
I've heard about the potato gun. I think you've seen the Muscle Funson where I said that I had a tomato gun business and the tomatoes would break upon impact. They're not as sturdy as potatoes, but so is the potato gun. Was that the first dollar?
It actually wasn't. No, it was the first thing like that I could talk about. Everything else was just dumb. Like I did affiliate marketing. I bought my like resale rights was a huge thing back 20 years ago. I was at Boise State. So I was in classes trying to like learn this stuff, and I'd sneak out of the computer lab and I'd, you know, be watching Frank or listening to Frank Kern teleseminars, cause pre-video. Right. So listen, Frank Kern,
Frank,
Armin Warren.
Frank was before you.
Yeah. Frank was before me.
Okay.
Yeah. Frank's his underachiever thing. I actually bought that from him later, but like underachiever thing he had way back almost 20 years ago was like, he was talking about like finding a niche and then building a thing. And so that was when I was like, what's my niche? And then potato guns. But I had done a couple things prior to that. Like in fact, my first actual product was a software product called ZipRander. It was the first idea I ever had. I was in college and I tried to hire a programming company to build it. And they wanted like $10,000, which I didn't have. So I literally switched my major to programming so I could learn how to program this idea that I thought was going to be the greatest thing in the world. And like day three of programming class, I was like, I have no idea what these teachers are talking about. And then I remember I heard Armin Morin, who had like 10 software products back then. He's like, oh, I hired people off Scriptlance to build it. So I took the same project idea I'd sent to this programming company, put on Scriptlance, and I hired this dude named Cyprian in Romania, and he built it for $20. And I was like,
$20?
All right, it's on like Donkey Kong. Now I know how to play this game. And I started making my first 10 products, were all little software products. And that was before the potato gun. I was just making software products, like these little one-off dorky little things.
What was the first one? What did it
do? So ZipRander. So I remember back in the day, everyone was selling resale rights. So you'd buy an ebook and then you download it. And then
you could sell it.
Yeah,
it
you like could sell it.
Somebody else wrote the content.
Yeah.
But you were allowed to sell it.
Yeah.
As your own.
But if you read the content, like the person who's giving resale rights was smart. Like they wrote an ebook, but the ebook was like selling their back end stuff. Right. Okay. And so I'd be selling this book and then they'd be making all this money off me. And so as an annoyed, 21-year-old kid, I was like, I wish I could like brand this. So the first thing they did when they opened it, they'd see my ad before they read the book. And I was like, oh, that was the idea. So it was called ZipRander. It was going to zip the file down. And then when you opened it, you saw my ad first. That was the big idea, which is actually a stupid idea. But at the time I thought like it was big enough.
So it's
head.
Like almost like a pop-up for a
book. Yeah, totally a pop-up for a file. Yeah,
people love pop-ups.
Yeah.
I can't believe it didn't take off.
But it was the first thing. I thought it was so big that I changed my major to like figure out how to make that thing. Right. But I
did you change
it.
Your major back?
Yeah. No, I just, no. Yeah.
So you have a programming degree?
Computer information systems.
Okay.
But I graduated with a 2.1 GPA. So I don't know actually how to do any of it, but
okay.
I got C's get degrees. But that was my very first thing. I did sell, like I made a sales letter. Like I did the whole process, right? Like I got some design e-cover of the software box and I wrote a sales letter. And I remember I sent it to this guy named Raymond McNally and he wrote back. He's like, this is the coolest idea and the worst sales letter ever. He's like, I wrote you a new sales letter last night. And this dude wrote me an entire sales letter.
For free,
just like to help me out. And so I had the sales letter, I had the image and this is before ads or, Facebook or anything. And right. So then I started like just sending my product for free to a whole bunch of people. And I think Mike Filsaine might've been the first person.
How were you sending it out at that point? So this is, cause what, yeah, this must be early
20 years ago. So what's that?
2002.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And so, yeah, I was just emailing it to people. I like email, so Mike, I still remember Mike Filsaine, his email address was like signindrive@hotmail.com. And so like, I sent him an email, like, here's the product. And he wrote back, this is cool. And then he sent an email to his list and we made like 12 sales. I was like, oh my gosh. Like we made,
that's amazing.
So that was like the first thing. And then from that, people had a little pop-up on the site. And so I got people join my email list. And then I think I remember that very first promo that Phil Singh did, I got 217 people. I remember the number, but this is the day, 217 people joined my email list from the pop-up. And I was like, I have a list. So then I went to somebody else. I was like, hey, if you promote my thing, I'll promote your thing to my list. I didn't tell them I only had 200 people. And so they promoted my thing. And I got another 500 people that joined the list, my pop-up, and I promoted their thing. And I started doing that, these little cross promos. And then it was like, I had another, my second software, I was in, I spent a lot of time in forums, like doing forum marketing.
Were you in the Warrior
Forum?
Oh,
and Ape Lakes.
Just the bottom of the barrel. Yeah. The people there.
The best. But I would make like all these posts and I could never like find them again. So I was like, I need software that would like, they follow up so I could remember if someone posted it, I could find all these posts. And so my second product was called Forum Fortunes. And again, I paid someone $100 or something to make the software. And that was the second one. And then Forum I sold that to my little email list. Good. And then I had one called Article Spider. So there's a bunch of those little things.
So you basically just had, if you had a problem, you were like, can I solve this with the software?
Or a lot of times I'd see someone who had a really cool software, but it was like $300. I was like, I could code that I have my guys code that for $300 and then I could sell it. And then instead of becoming a cost, it became a product. Because a lot of my things were just like, oh, I could hire someone to make that one and that one.
So I thought you were an info product guy or a...
It all started software.
So it started with software. Now it's still.
So that was what was happening, software. And I was having some success with it. And that's when Frank Kern came out the Underachiever thing, and I was like, "Oh, what's my thing?" And so potato guns was the first info thing I did. So that's a more interesting story for the masses. When
yeah,
I'm
it's
my
a
story.
Good. Well, also the fact
here's
that you're from Idaho.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah.
The fact that you're like, I literally made money by teaching people how to shoot potatoes out of guns.
Much better story. So that's what I would lead with. But
how did that actually happen?
So again, I bought Kern's course, went through it all, and I was like, I have no talents. I don't know what I'm going to do. And then, do you remember Overture? Is that before your time?
See, I might be before my time.
You're a young one.
In 2002, I was 12 years old.
Oh, serious?
Yeah. So you're like, I had an email address, and I'm like, I was just starting to experience the joys of puberty at that point. I was just trying to figure out.
I looked like
Rosie O'Donnell at that point. I was a chubby little guy. I don't know if we'll be able to pull up a picture.
I sure hope so.
Today, but that picture's fantastic. I mean, it looks like, I'm pretty sure my dad shagged Rosie O'Donnell. Like, it's a spitting image when I was a kid. But that was what I was doing in 2002. Okay. Yeah.
Well, there was a site called Overture back in the day, and it was the first keyword research thing. And it was Yahoo did it. So it was Yahoo results. So you type in a keyword, and it'll show you this is how many people search on Yahoo for the keyword.
Okay.
And so I remember that was something Frank showed in the course. So I went there. I typed in, it was after spring break. My buddies and I, we were the only two married guys on the wrestling team. And so spring break hit and everyone else was like, boom, heading to Vegas or Wendover to go gamble and have fun. And, you know, Nate and I, our wives were supporting us and working. And so they weren't excited about us leaving.
You didn't
want
to go to Vegas?
Yeah. You know, and it's not really my style.
Yeah, that's not your
and
thing.
So our wives are working. So Nate's like, hey, man, let's make a potato gun this week. I'm like, what's a potato gun? He's like, oh, so we spent the whole spring break making a potato gun. And then we got done. I was like, that was really fun. And then the next Monday,
Did you shoot it?
Yeah, I went and shot it. In fact, there's a whole funny story. Went out behind the airport shooting it. And as we're shooting it, this big tank thing drives up. And apparently we're on like army ground or something. Yep. And this big sergeant came out and his thing. And they start yelling at us. And my wife was pregnant with our twins at the time. She thought we were going to jail. She was freaking out. And then the guy was like, he was kind of a jerk at first. And then at the end, he's like, so how far does it shoot? Like, show it to me. And so then we spend the next like 30 minutes with the army dudes, like shooting That's the guns awesome. And stuff. And then they're like, just, you can shoot them. Just don't shoot them like here because we can see these on our radar and that, you know, you're going to go to jail.
He could see the potatoes on
apparently,
the radar.
Yeah. Or I don't know if it's the potatoes or us drive or something, but yeah, they totally saw us and then
thought like, this is the fastest ship we've seen out here. What is this UFO out here? It's a bunch of potatoes.
Yeah, we are an Idaho.
It's some 21-year-old wrestler shooting potatoes. I thought we were in danger right here. Oh, wow. Yeah. That's
it
pretty
so
outrageous.
Fun. Yeah, that's when I went the next day, next Monday at school. I went to Overture and I was like, potato gun. I typed in, and I think there's like 18,000 people searching potato guns. And I was like, this is it. This is my product. And so that started the very first
product.
It was
like plans.
Yeah, it was plans. Well, Nate and I spent the whole week building stuff. So we built like 10 different versions and most of them didn't work. They didn't work as well. And there's like the one that was our favorite one. So like
the one that the army contracted.
Yep.
Like really made your first money. It's like, actually the army hired us to develop.
That was such a better sales letter than we had
to develop rocket launchers. That would have been a great story in the sales letter.
That would have been.
The army wants this potato gun technology.
Can you imagine if we got film or video of the dude, but things would have been now
in uniform.
Yeah. Totally in uniform, big old boots and everything. And coming. Yeah.
Potato guns would still be popular. Right been now, awesome. Had you done that?
Had I have had our phones back then to film everything.
So did you even have a computer like at home?
We didn't have
or were you literally going to the computer lab to like do work?
We had a really crappy computer, my wife's computer, because my wife's older than me, so she had invested in a computer, but it was not nice. We had one of that at the house, and then I'd go to school and most work at in the school computer lab.
That's pretty wild. People have all these excuses nowadays, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like you have a supercomputer.
You have your
pocket,
phone, yeah.
And you're like, I was on dial-up. At a computer lab.
We didn't have like cameras. Like there wasn't phones with cameras. Like we had a I borrowed a video camera from somebody, like like one of those dad cameras that you'd go film, you know, with the little thing that scrolled zooming in and out. And so we borrowed a camera and broke into Boise State University. And on the whiteboard, like mapped out. If you've watched the DVD, you'll see it's like in a classroom in Boise State, and like we wrote out the formulas and filmed ourselves doing it. Went to Home Depot and filmed ourselves buying the pipes, and then my wife's work went back office and like she worked at a warehouse, and so we'd go back there and we were cutting it and gluing it all together. But yeah, it was all filmed on this old camera that we had to give back, and then we had to figure out like we have this tape, right? Like how do you get that on a computer and onto a DVD? And there's so many things we had to figure out, and then we finally got that all figured out, and we started burning it on DVDs. I bought a DVD burner, so we burned the DVDs, and we sell them, we put it in the thing, and ship it out. And
so you were shipping them. So how did you actually get traffic? Because you had this list of people who were into software or internet marketing products, right?
Yeah.
But
completely unrelated.
People who were but I also love potato guns.
So there were two big potato gun forums back in the day. I don't know if
there
were
full
around.
Forums.
Yeah, there's two forums, just people talking about spud guns.
Potato guns.
Yeah.
Okay.
And which was really cool. The hard part is a lot of those people in there were like hardcore, like they were making these insane guns, like bolt action, like we could like shoot potatoes. They had like dudes building these semi-automatic ones. We could like load six potatoes into that, like crazy stuff. It's so, like I'm coming with potato gun plans and people are making fun of it, but they sold ads. there were a banner at top and on the side. So I bought the banner ads, and sure enough, all the newbies would come and buy our potato gun plants because no one was selling them. They just, everyone's talking about
stuff. Yeah. So what, how much were you, do you remember the first sale and like what I bet you paid, you know, what you paid? And
I can't remember there was that one. And also I was buying Google ads. Google ads were easy back in the day too. So like I was also buying Google ads. Those are the two. I can't remember where the first sale came from, but yes, I do remember it coming through. And I was like, somebody did. And I remember Nate was my buddy who did the thing with me. I was like, I messaged him. I was like, dude, somebody just bought one. He's like, somebody paid us for that crap. I was like, yeah. And he's like, well, what do we do now? I'm like, well, we got to go figure out, like, now we got to burn a, so we got to go figure out the whole, like, because we had the file on the computer and we had to burn a DVD. And then we got bought a sticker with a printer to be able to print a sticker and stick it on, right? And like just all those little things we had to do to get it out.
What did you sell it for?
I think it was $37. That's what Kern told us to sell for. Wow. Yeah.
Especially then, that's pretty good. I mean, that's pretty good price.
Yeah.
Because then they got to buy all the gear. They got to, you know, make the potato gun.
Because that was the first thing. And then again, if you've heard my whole, the whole story of the funnel story, right? Like that's what it was. And then Google ads changed and costs went up. And then later we found in Northern Idaho, there's a distributor that actually makes and ships potato gun. They still to this day do. In fact, I bought some, we did a kid event last 2 months ago. So I bought a bunch of them from them.
We need to write that down. We need some potato guns for Wolfpack Week that we can that we can shoot off the mountain at the White Hawk. 100% that's happening.
Yes. And in fact, if you want good ones, there's
I do. I don't want an average potato gun.
Dude, I bought one recently. It has it's a mount that looks like a pistol, like an actual gun. It's just the barbecue igniter on the back and it is what you need, but it looks like a big old handheld pistol that you like glue to the gun. So it looks like, anyway, they're insane. There's some really cool ones out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cam, you're listening, right? You know that we're going to be shooting.
I'll give you the resource list after the call. It'll be awesome.
How much? $37?
Yeah. No, the kids are more expensive, but well, we did a partnership with them. So that became the first upsell. It's like, people buy the DVD and then the episode was like, hey, instead of going and buying all the pipes and stuff, there's these kits. And so
it was a kit. So that wasn't pre-made. They shipped it and then put it together.
It was all pre-cut, pre everything. So they get it. Awesome. You have to glue it together. And then,
of course they were in Northern Idaho.
Yeah. Is that
that's
awesome?
Where they would be.
Totally.
I mean, if there's a company that's already making pre-made potato gun kits.
But they've been doing them for like 20 years now. Cause they're still doing them to this day, which is crazy. So I don't know. I haven't looked at that market in while, but there enough of these guys are still building 20 years
later.
There's
probably some opening. There's going to be the next Russell Brunson is watching right now going, you know what? I'm gonna redo potato guns and I'm going to have...
I own potato guns.
Click funnels.
Somebody needs it. Let me know. I can...
Do you seriously have that? Oh, my God.
Come on now.
You have every... combination of words plus secrets.
Secrets, hacker, and usually have every variation of every...
How many domains do you think you have?
3,000 or 4,000 probably.
Wow.
Yeah. I've been buying it for a long time.
What's your favorite domain?
Oh, crap. That's a good one.
As a business-to-business marketer, your needs are unique. B2B buying cycles are long and your customers face incredibly complex decisions. Isn't it time you had a marketing platform built specifically for you? LinkedIn Ads empowers marketers with solutions for you and your customers. LinkedIn Ads allows you to build the right relationships, drive results, and reach your customers in a respectful environment. You have direct access to and the ability to build relationships with decision makers, 1 billion members, 180 million senior level executives, and 10 million C-level executives. You'll be able to drive results with targeting and measurement tools, but specifically for B2B. In technology, LinkedIn generated 2 to 5 times higher return on ad spend than other social media platforms. You'll work with partners who respect the B2B world that you operate in. 79% of B2B content marketers said that LinkedIn produces the best results for paid media. Here at ClickFunnels, we also use LinkedIn ads to get more of our high-end dream customers we can't target anywhere else online. Make B2B marketing everything it can be and get $100 credit on your next campaign. All you got to do is go to linkedin.com/clicks. C-L-I-C-K-S to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/clicks. Terms and conditions may apply. You've already done the hard part. You started your business, taken the leaps to believe in yourself and your vision. But if you want to make more money doing what you love, you need to grow. And to do that, you need a marketing strategy. There's a recent episode in a great new podcast called This is Small Business that talks all about this. You learn how to identify your target audience and where to find them, which marketing channels to focus on so you're making the most out of your budget, and how to use data to set goals. This is Small Business is an original podcast from Amazon and answers so many of these kinds of questions. Whether you're dreaming of starting your own business, looking to take a part-time side hustle full-time, or maybe you're a few years in and you're ready to grow, This is Small Business has practical tips that you can use today. And this show covers all sorts of small business topics. Coming up this month, you'll have a chance to learn how to grow your email list from one of my favorite people on the planet, Jenna Kutcher. And you're also going to get step-by-step guidance for accelerating your business growth with Amy Porterfield, another one of my favorites. So make sure you go and follow the This Is Small Business podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you don't miss out on those fantastic episodes. And a big thanks to This Is Small Business for sponsoring the show.
Actually, the most expensive ones. That might be easier.
Yeah,
like I bought bootstrap.com. There's a lot. Mastermind.com I bought and gave to Dean and Tony. That was a lot.
Oh, you bought Mastermind.com and then you
gifted it to him.
You just gave it to him for free. Is that how you kind of got in? Is that what got
you?
I was in with them already, but that's a pretty good domain name to give them.
Yeah. Well, I told Dean to go buy it and he messaged them. They wanted $1 million for it. And then I went to the site and their ClickFunnels user, they're holding 2 Comic Club awards on the thing. I was like,
oh, really?
Okay. And so we messaged him again and negotiated. I think it cost me $600,000. So I got it. And then, I was like, what do you give Tony Robbins to like impress him? It's not easy. Like the government like gives him black hop helicopters to go fly for fun. You know what I mean? Like, how do I impress him? So I was like, okay, I'm just going to give it to him. And so I just gave it to him. And then, so that was kind of fun.
That is a good question. How do you impress Tony Robbins?
Yeah. Actually, do you want to hear something funny?
I do. I love
that. The very first time I met Tony Robbins, the whole long story behind that, but I was in Toronto at his event and he invited me up and I went to this hotel room and had dinner with him and he was asking a bunch of questions. And the first thing he told me though was like, he looked at me, he's like, so potato guns, huh? And I was like, oh my gosh. Like he did his, did his research ahead of time. I'm like, yeah. And so after that event was over, I'm like, I'm sure he meets a million people. I'm like, how is he going to remember me tomorrow? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be the guy.
Potato guns is pretty memorable.
Yeah. So the actual potato gun we built on the How to Make Potato Gun DVD, I still had. And he has a house in Sun Valley, Idaho. And so I found out from the assistant's address. And so I shipped him the original potato gun and the DVD to his house. And then he only visits like once a year. So I didn't hear anything from him for like 8 months. And then one day I get this message. He's like, dude, I just got in Idaho and there's this potato gun thing. He's like, how does it work? I want to do it. So him and his wife went in the backyard and they made videos of them shooting my potato gun. And they said they sent me the videos like 5 times. And I never got them, which
if there's a video you want, it's Tony Robbins shooting a potato gun.
The original potato gun. Yeah,
it must have looked so small in his hands. It's like a potato pistol. He's just like, this actually is huge, but it just looks tiny in his hands.
But that was the first thing I said him because I was like, I want him to always remember me. So that was the first thing I said him. And then I said, then a decade later, I gave him that one. And anyway,
it was that long between.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you?
Tony's a long date. Like, if you want to get to know him, it's not.
Well, that's the thing. I would not want his life in a million years. Like, if you're breaking your life into like 33 minute sections, that just seems horrible. It just seems so intense.
Yeah, he is intense.
How did that happen? What was the progression there? Like, how did you meet him the first time? And then how did it progress to?
Yeah, so the very first time was it was during the crash of whatever, 2008. And so his business was like, he was struggling, right? His entire business had been on TV up to that point. Crash hits. And nothing's really working for him. So he had tried to hire some marketing people to bring him online. And I think he had like 3 or 4 people coming in to pitch him. And then somehow he met like Kern and Mike Koenigs and those guys. And so they got to come and pitch Tony. So they were the very first to pitch Tony. It's supposed to be like a 30-minute meeting. And they kind of pitched like what they were doing. And Tony was so blown away. The other two groups, I guess, were out in the lobby or whatever waiting for him. And he messaged him, like, send the other people home. Sent him home. And he spent like 8 hours with Mike and Frank and those guys. And he just showed him our world. And Tony was so blown away. And so he's like, I want to do something. I'm going to create something. And so they worked with Tony to build the New Money Masters DVD series, which was him interviewing a bunch of internet marketers about how we were doing stuff back in the day. And so they started filming those. And at the time, I was the only person in our industry that had a call center. We had a call center here in Boise with like 60 sales guys. And so they basically told Tony, like, the way this business works is you sell this thing on the front end, then you call them on the phone and sell them coaching. And they're like, Brunson's the one that's got the call center. Like, you need to meet Brunson to do the call center for you. And so, and this all happened without me knowing anything. Also, one day at the blue, I get a call from Jay Garrity, Tony's assistant at the time, and was like, hey, Tony wants to meet you today. Can you meet him?
Like, and I was like, I got stuff going on.
Yeah. And I was in Boise and he's like, well, we're in Salt Lake. Like, can you come over? They thought I lived in Utah. I'm in Boise. And
like, anyway, how people think that it's the same.
They all think it's the same. Yeah.
They're like, it's Utah, Idaho. It's the same place.
Yeah. Like, just drive down real quick.
Well, we have slightly fewer Mormons.
Way more potatoes.
More potatoes and less Mormons.
I'm working on that side though.
Anyway.
But that was like, so he's like, okay, well, Tony meet in Toronto next week. You do an UPW, come up as his guest. And then anyway, so I flew him next week at UPW. That's where I met him. That's where I had the dinner with him. And And then I didn't hear from him for like 4 or 5 months. I'm like, oh crap, he hated me. And then he messaged me again. Jay messaged me out of the blue. It's like, hey, Tony's doing an event in Fiji in 2 weeks. Do you want to come speak at it? And while you're there, he wants to see if you want to be one of the, if he can record an interview, he'd be one of the DVDs for the New Money Master Series. I was like, yeah.
So you're going to
Holy Fiji, crap. Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And it was funny because
what were you actually doing at that time? Like, what made you, because you had the call center and that's why he was like, this is the guy.
Yeah.
So how did that, what were you actually doing then?
So we were, so our business model, we'd figured out, we were selling a free DVD, someone would buy the free DVD, and then we call them on the phone and sell them a high end coaching package. That was the whole, that was the model back then. Right. And
was
so we
it,
did it. And then we
marketing related stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we were doing that. And then Kern came out with something. We did the back and leads for him. We did it for Phil Sane. We did it for like a dozen guys who in the space, because everyone, like, we figured out that was the model. Everyone wanted to shift that model, but nobody else wanted to build a call center. So we had a big call center here. And so everyone else was doing free plus shipping stuff. We do the back end phone sales. And then that was kind of
like 2008, 9, 10.
Yeah, about like that.
Okay.
Yeah, it was right during the whole crash, 2008, like around that area.
So then you go to Fiji.
Which was so cool. And so I got to, you know, you're on Tony's actual private resort and it's really small. And so we did, you know, hung out there and then I got to speak and it was in a room with like, I don't know, maybe 80 attendees in this little room. And Tony sat in the back of the room, listened to me speak, which was like the most intimidating, scary thing in the world. Yeah. And I remember because I was teaching basic, like direct, you know, digital marketing. We didn't call that back then. It was basic, you know, I remember teaching about, a squeeze page. You have a squeeze page. And
people like, oh my God.
Well, I remember because Tony raised his hand and said, isn't it true our squeeze page is dead? He said this to me in 2010 or whatever. And I was just like, oh, and I'm like, no, they still work. He's like, oh, because I heard from my friends that it's dead. I'm like, no, like, anyway, which is funny because this day we still
use this.
Yeah, a decade later, they still work.
Yeah.
But like, he called me out during my presentation on stage asking if they were dead, which was so intimidating. That happened. And then the next day we filmed went to his actual house on the property and went to the back deck and we filmed him interviewing me, which was insane. And then we left and I didn't hear from him for like 5 years. I was just like,
5 years?
Once again, I think he hates me. And then out of the blue, like, it's weird. Like, weird things would happen. So, like, you remember the 12-Month Millionaire book? Like, Vince James?
I don't
know. Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm going to send one. It's the greatest book, marketing book on the planet.
Not, this is not Ryan Daniel Moran's 12 Months to a Million.
No. This is the guy named Vince James wrote a book. Like, it's called The 12-Month Millionaire. And it was how he made $100 million in 23 months selling supplements through direct mail. And it's insane. So I did a partnership with the guy and we're selling that book for him. It's big. It's like size of a phone book. It's a huge old fat book. And, it's like, I was selling that at the time. And that's like, Tony, you pop up on Tony's radar every once in a while. It's like, he saw that. So popped up. Hey, can you give me,
he's like, he just saw the ad.
Saw the ad or the email. I don't really know.
That's,
who knows?
That's one of those weird things. I bet a lot of famous people have seen your ads.
You want something weird? The other day on Instagram, Hugh Hefner's ex-wife messaged me and she wants to build a course and be on ClickFunnels and all these things.
Which ex-wife? Didn't weird? He have like the six one
that
wives?
He, the one, yeah, the one that he was married to when he died. Her last name's still Hefner. And I was like, I don't even know how to respond to like,
DM'd you?
Yeah, DM me. I'm like, this is weird. I don't, yeah, it's like there's always weird stuff. Yeah, like
what's
that.
It, what did your wife think of that one?
She's yeah, like, I didn't respond know. Back to her. I'm
what's
like,
the course going to be? How to marry an old rich guy and take know. All his money?
I have no
That'd
idea.
Probably sell like crazy. That's a great idea.
This is a great
idea.
Offer. It's way better
I'll buy
potato
that
guns.
One. Shit, I'll marry Hugh Hefner to get all that. That's not a bad course.
Yeah. But anyway, there's like stuff like that. Like people, yeah, it's surprising to me how many people now like, in the real world, like big celebrities now are starting to see our world and keep bumping into us in different spots. Like Tony's next launch is Matthew McConaughey is like the main speaker on Tony's next big launch is coming up next month, which is crazy. And like they're building a course with Matthew McConaughey and like helping him. Like it's just crazy how like the real celebrity world and our world are like now bumping into each other and becoming.
Well, cause that's one. The thing is celebrities. Well, celebrities changing as well, right? With TikTok and Instagram and YouTube, like what young kids think of as sugar daddy secrets.
Yeah. Quick, buy that. Somebody.
Russell's like already own it. Yeah, thought about that one a while ago. Yeah, I think the celebrities changed. You know, like what is a celebrity? Because I think for my generation, still, it's like to me, it's like movie stars. Those are celebrities. Or like actors and TV shows, but to younger people, it's like YouTubers.
Yep.
Those are like, to them, they're like more popular almost than an A-list celebrity.
If I was asking my kids,
see how that happens.
You know, Mr. Beast versus whoever, they would have, you know,
they'd go Mr. Beast
100%. Yeah, who are you gonna go meet? Like Tom Cruise or Mr. Beast? Like, who's Tom Cruise?
Well, Tom Cruise. Okay. Yeah, or whoever. They're wrong on that one. Tom Cruise is, if I, so this is actually really funny. So I was saying to Whitney, I love Tom Cruise, man. Even when he was doing all the weird stuff and people are like, he's crazy. I'm like, I don't care. You put a Tom Cruise movie on and I'm watching the whole thing. Minority Report, edge of my seat the entire time.
Even like times in. I've seen five times.
He's unbelievable. The fact is he is... The movies are great. Even when people, I'm like, I don't care what you think. I love Tom Cruise. And now he's made the people don't care anymore about when he was, you know, jumping around on couches or whatever, and that he's a Scientologist and all that stuff. But I watched a bunch of like Top Gun related, you know, material on YouTube after it had come out. And he's just such a likable dude and he's so interesting. And I said to Whitney, I was like, God, if there was ever something I was doing and Tom Cruise would give me a motivational speech, there's no way I'm not winning, whatever that is, no matter what. That weekend, I'm watching Formula One, and he's in the pit with Mercedes, and Lewis Hamilton has his best race of the year. And I'm like, no wonder I bet you Tom Cruise is like, look, here's what we need. You're going to be my wingman today, Lewis. And Lewis has his best race of the entire year while Tom Cruise is in the Mercedes pit. And I'm like, that's...
We need to hire Tom Cruise.
I bet it's only $100 million for an hour or something. How would you even get Tom Cruise?
She's got an agent. We try to get The Rock for something and who... Literally, if you ask Alexa, like, who's the most popular person in the world? The Rock is who she... Yeah, who knows if that's true or not, but... We try to get him. He's
because what he did is he's used social media. He's the only really big celebrity who's decided to use that. And he's, you know, multiracial. He's like everybody. He's everything.
Everyone
loves just
the Rock.
He just hit all of it. No matter how many steroids he uses.
Everyone's like, no, he doesn't. No.
It's like human is gigantic. The fact that you could even think that he's not is insane.
Yeah. All the women I know are like, hello, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear that.
We have a cutout of him.
Yeah, I saw.
Because when we went through traction.
Is it life size?
It's life size. He's 6'3". He's just...
I'm going to stand next to
him. A little taller. It's fantastic. But we did traction, you know, the EOS stuff.
Yep.
And so every 90 days, you set your rocks. And so I said to Implementer, I'm like, so we've got to get our Dwayne Johnson's done by the next 90 days. And she goes, what? I'm like, our Dwayne Johnson's? And she was like, nobody has ever done that. She does say that we are the most fun group she works with. She's got like old people that are manufacturers and stuff. But so we got the cutout because this is, you know, the Hoffers. Yeah. So we might get a David Hasselhoff as well for the Hoffers. But that's why we have Dwayne Johnson up there, is because we call our rocks Dwayne Johnson's.
That's amazing.
So
we started ours last week. I should have done that. Okay, how am I still that for our team?
Did you do traction?
Yeah. So I have a guy, our new COO, who's been here for the year. He's amazing.
I don't know. The last time I was
Kevin
with the beard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know what exactly he does. I think he does more. I hate operations. Like, I'm the least operational person. Like, anything operations, like, I'm like, I don't do meetings. I don't do that stuff.
You sounded like Will Ferrell in Wedding Crashes. I don't know what she's doing back there. I don't know what he does, but he works for us.
Yeah. But I do know we do rocks. We do stuff. So it's probably based on traction. I don't know what else. But
okay.
Like I said, and this hopefully for those of the entrepreneurs who are listening who hate operations, like I hate operations more than anything on this planet. So I try to distance myself as far as possible from it as much as I can. They loop me in the meetings I have to be in, but anything else. So I do have to do the meeting once a quarter on our Dwayne Johnson's.
On your Dwayne Johnson's, yeah. You got to bring a cutout. They're like, what are you doing? So that's a good sort of transition. I'm curious, what do you think, if you had to boil it down to like one reason why you've been successful as you are, what do you think that is?
I'm obsessed with the art of this game. Like, I just love it. If you look at this business, there's three personality types you have to be successful in the business. And I wish I understood this when I got started, because we only had two of the three for the first, until a year ago, to be honest. And the three personality types you have, number one, you got to have someone who's obsessed with the product, right? There's a product person. Number two, someone who's obsessed with the marketing. And then number three, someone who's obsessed with operations. Like, if I ever start a new company in the future, it's like, those are the three people I need. And then from there, everything else will grow, right? The problem with most entrepreneur-based businesses is operations. At first, we don't need operations because we're just marketing and selling, right? That's what we do. So we go build these companies, we blow it up, and then also the customers come and they're like, oh crap, and you operate. You need someone to, manage people and we try to figure it out. And that's why most, especially like internet marketing run businesses, end up failing eventually because they suck at like the actual dealing with the people and stuff. Yeah. Oh yeah. And so it's like,
they're good at selling.
Like you don't need the operations person on day. Well, in our heads, we don't need it day one. We need it like after we've had success. But the reality is like, you need that person. So when you do have success, the success lasts longer than the launch or the promotion of the campaign. Right.
Right.
And so, so like when ClickFunnels launched, like Todd is my business partner. He's obsessed with the product. And I was obsessed with the marketing. So we could sit there and spend, you know, he could spend his every waking hour, you know, 80 hours a week during the building phase, focus on that. I could focus on the marketing and the sales. And so we just each were so obsessed with our piece of the pie that we made stuff that was great. And so, I mean, that's honestly, I think most people are in this business because they want to make money. But man, like, yes, I want.
So you still love marketing.
Oh, why do I keep doing this? Like,
yeah,
I just bought a company yesterday that's not in my market at all because I know the marketing plan for it that I'm freaking so excited to execute on because it's just like,
this is your thing.
Yeah.
Like, this is why you're here.
100%.
Like you haven't gotten tired of it. You're not like, don't do, you're like, you know what? I'm going to do something else. This marketing stuff.
What else would I do? Like everything else seems stupid. Yeah. Like this is so, it's like the greatest game in the world. And at the end of it, you make, like you play a video game and at the end of it, you get your high score. Here we play a video game and then we get paid. And they're like, oh yeah. My gosh, like I'm going to buy a house and turn it into an office. You know, like, you do whatever you want to do at this point. But, this is how much I love the art. So, because people always ask me, oh, well, you're lucky because you know, you're teaching me to make people that make funnels and funnels are cool. I'm like, funnels were not cool when I got started.
Yeah, like, you made funnels.
I used to do here in Boise, I would do events. I would advertise on the radio. We did direct mail campaigns to do events to go fill the Holiday Inn on Vista, get people to show up. And I would sit there.
We're going to have to ask you about that. Cam, did you hear that? We got to, because we do our events here and we're like, we got to try some local ads and see what we can do here.
Yeah. I can tell you all stats. I mean, it's been a while since we did them, but like it was fascinating. And like I remember doing this event. We had three times during the day, so we had radio and direct mail to fill this event. We got there, and the very first session, two people showed up, and I was like so embarrassed. I have a huge room with seats, everything, and two people showed up. Even though they had RSVP, people just didn't come. And I did the event, and most of them were like, oh, this sucks. I'm making money. I would have been done. But that was 20 years ago. I did the event with two people, and then another one where there's four people, and then eight
literally
people,
two people,
and then 10 people, two people. Yeah. And I'm like, this sucks. And I'm awkward and introverted anyway. So it's like the bigger the audience, the more comfortable I am with two people. I'm like,
right.
Oh, like, but like I was talking about when there were two people in the room and then 10 people and people are like, how'd you get 6,000 people fun hacking live? It's like, because I've been doing this for two decades. Like I've cared enough. I consistently keep doing it because I love this so much. Like, when there are two people, I kept doing it. When there are four people, there are eight people, there are 10 people. Most people, they do something like, oh, only 10 people show up. I did a YouTube video, I got 30 likes. Like,
yeah.
Who cares? Like, if you actually care, like, if you're obsessed with this thing, it doesn't matter. Like if you're obsessed with the art. So for me, it's like this point, like, I just, like, I love this game. It's so much fun. It's so exciting. Yeah. Every day we come in, it's like, okay, what can we do? What should we do? Like, what, you know, and.
Well, and I can attest that being at your office, the amount of books, like, it looks like. A crazy person.
And I didn't take you to the library. So I'm building, you know, yeah, I'm building a 20,000 square foot library. So I have another office that's just storing my books right now because there's no room for them. I've conservatively in the last 6 months probably bought 3,000 books. All first editions from like the early 1900s, like advertising, marketing, personal development, success, like because this is my art. This is the game I'm in, right? And so
how often are you reading?
I read a little bit every day, not a lot. Part of it, again, it's like I'm collecting this thing because there's a business I'm building behind it. So I'm collecting all these first editions. And then one of the first business I ever got into back in the day was public domain, which is books whose copyrights have expired and you can republish those things. And so a lot of things I'm buying because we're turning them into businesses, into offers and things like that. And so all those books, the ones that are like worth republishing, I'm reading, we're republishing, I'm making audiobook for, like, there's a whole bunch of stuff we're doing with them. But that's a probably 5-hour event we could do later, going deep into like the model behind that. But yeah, it's another business. Like they're all.
So what does your day look like? Because there's so many things, and I understand. Like I get super excited about stuff, but then I'm like less excited later. Like mine doesn't. I'm like, you know, super quick start. Like,
yeah,
let's do this. And now basically most of my job for myself is just telling myself to do less. Like I'm going to write a book literally just called Do Less Shit Better because there's so many things. And I found that the more stuff I do, the worse results I get rather than just staying focused on like the core model, the core thing.
Yeah.
So at this point, obviously ClickFunnels is now, you know, working whether you work on it or not, right? Like it's got its
base. But also we're about to launch ClickFunnels 2.0, so that's our biggest focus by far is the new relaunch and the new software and all that kind of stuff.
How much better is it?
Oh, it's night and day. In my mind, it's the future, right? We tried to the first time we built ClickFunnels, we built it on a technology that was good 8 years ago.
Right.
And we built the base of what we do 8 years ago. Now it's like, now we know what people want. We know how we wish it would have been. Technology is a million times better now. So it's just faster.
It's a full
We literally, when we decided to build it, we didn't tell anybody in our entire company, not even our other partners. Like it was me, Todd, and Dave, three people knew about it. And then Todd, kind of like Steve Jobs built his Skunk Works division inside of Apple to build his thing. We did the same thing where Todd built this thing. It was just him at first. And then he started bringing in the best of our developers and made them literally like swear in. Like they had to go through a whole like hour long thing with Todd. They had to like sign a contract. They wouldn't tell anybody in our company or anybody what they're working on.
Why was that?
Because when you're, we didn't want.
Is the rest of your company finding out about this right now?
Yeah. hey guys. No, we did have a meeting eventually about a year into it. Like, this is the plan because people started getting more confused. Like, why are you pulling the best developers off? Like, why are they disappearing? What are they doing? And like, it's finally, I tell everybody, but because we have a platform with 100,000 plus members on it. And like, if everyone's like, oh, this next thing would shift over here, like we could have lost everything. So it's like, we have to have this separate thing. We can't shift focus or deviation. Like, this has to continue to develop and improve and get better. But eventually we're going to lose our business if we don't build the new thing. Right. Like, and so when Fine decided to do that, it was a separate thing. And but it's amazing. Whole new, built from the ground up, all new technology, all new, just the thought process of how things work and why they work and how to structure, you know, it's what we wish we, you know,
would have done before. How long has it been developing?
2 years.
Damn.
Yeah. And we launched, if you go to CF, the number 2, then POINT and 0.com, there's like the countdown. There's a countdown clock to like when we go live. October 4th is when it goes live to the world. So we're, I think 80 something days away
pretty
from
close.
It. So, yeah, so that's the number one focus. So everything like that defaults, and then all the other stuff's like my side projects of like,
okay. Do you, because you're like taking on stuff where you're like, oh, I've got this marketing plan. When I hear you say that, I'm like, God, that sounds like a nightmare. Like another thing is, are you just at this point really idea person?
Yeah.
So if you go and you go, this is what we're going to do, there's the people that will actually push your idea forward.
For most things, outside of like this, like my unique ability, like I'm going to do the presentation. I'm going to do, you know, like the things that are my unique ability, I still do. But it's very much like, here's the vision. And then I give it to Kevin. Like I make a video. Sometimes they're 30 minutes to an hour long video. Like, here's, this is what needs to happen. How it's going to work. You know, I've funnel hacked 400 other people. Like, these are what, like, I like how they did this and they did this. And it's like, there's the big brain dub. And then he'll go through it. He'll take it all and project manage it out with like chops it all up into a million. Cause that's the thing is like, we have this vision. Then like, we get overwhelmed, like, oh crap, there's all these details. Like I hate details stress me out so bad. Like, in fact, my also team has project manager systems. I'm not involved in any of those. Cause if I see like, here's all the tasks that have to happen for that to happen, I get so, I just want to give up.
Right.
So I don't see any of that. But then after the vision's done, then I become an employee of the team. So then Kevin's like, Russell, these are your assignments to make this thing happen. Then he's giving me tasks like any other employee, like you gotta write the copy for this, you're doing the video for this, here's the, you know, and so like I'm now just an employee on the team and I only see the things I have to do to make it actually happen.
So what is your role now? Like when you say, are you writing all the copy still for the primary?
No, we've got some good copywriters, but I work with them. So it's like, you know, like, I love copy until we get past the initial scroll and then like, oh, I want to die. But like everything above the fold, like I obsess with that. I love talking about. So like, it's going to be Heath on our team as our lead copywriter.
Heath, what's his last name?
Wilcox.
Do you know Heath? I love Heath.
He's now full time with us. Like,
he's awesome.
He is my favorite copywriter I've ever worked with ever. He's insane.
He's a good dude.
And so we sit down and we brainstorm and then he'll write stuff and I'll write stuff and go back and forth. And we get like the right lead, the right message, the right tone. And then he'll go and run and then just do his magic. He's amazing. And then the email sequences, like I write a lot of those. We actually, we have a couple other writers, but I'm involved in those processes.
Do you write the daily emails that you guys send?
Sometimes it depends. I've yet to find someone who really can master my voice. Involved in.
Is there a difference in results in the ones that you write versus the ones that are written by others? Yeah, how significant would you say?
It depends how good they're getting better at modeling me, but it's like,
it's your hard for them to come up. Very unique. That's the problem. It's
hard for them to come up with the right hook, right? Like, they'll write something. I'm like, what?
Like, even if the voice sexy, is like, yours, but it's not the idea,
yeah,
then it's not gonna,
yeah,
work.
So a lot of times, more of it's that me like, hey, I want an email campaign. It's me six emails. Like, the first one, we should be talking about this, and you know, so I'll give them that, and then they'll write it, and like, then I'll go back in, like, and then I'll retweak stuff. So usually, it's rarely me just writing everything right now, you know, 100%. It's usually me sending a Vox message like, here's the hook, or here's like the thing I think, or here's a story, like, find out, like, turn that into an email, and then I'll get that, and then I'll tweet.
Do you use that a lot, Voxer?
Oh yeah, I think I'm the only person that uses it still. Like,
I can't remember what it was. It was sometime that you were using it. I remember hearing it, and I was like, I don't know if anybody else.
Yeah, and I'm the only one. In fact, the company was for sale. They were trying to sell it to me because they're like, you're the only person. Who loves
you're
this.
The only guy on here. Do you?
But literally, if you want to, like any partnership I have, like, or any, like, from my family to my relationships to my business, everything, like, it all happens in the Voxer.
So it's just all, and it's all audio, right? Yeah. Is that what it is?
It's audio. It's, you can 4x speed things. So like, someone sent me a 2-minute message, I can get in 30 seconds, and then I can forward messages to people. So I can't
imagine listening to you on 4x speed. There's no way. There's no way I can understand it.
But it's awesome. It's like, if I have an idea, it's like, okay, who needs to be involved in this idea? I'm like, okay. So I make a Voxer group. I throw in the five people I need. I sit there, I'm driving, I brain dump the entire idea. Like, this is what I want to do. And then it's over. And then they all got it. And then I forgot something, I can just forward that message to them or bring them in the group. And so I can, like, I don't have to do meetings now. I can just do a 30-second thing, get the vision to everybody, and then they can start running. Or my coaching programs. Like, I used to do coaching calls, and it's the worst. They, like, if you give someone like a 30-minute coaching call with you, they want to go on a call for 30 minutes and they're like, oh, this is my time, I got to use it all. It's like,
yeah,
their question is a 20-second question.
Yep.
And so I shifted that to, like, for the high-end coaching that I do, like, they just message me on Voxer, and they're only allowed to ask me one question at a time, and it can't go over a minute.
Right.
So usually it's like, they think through it first. They ask me a 30-second question. Yeah. I listen at 4x speed. So it takes me 10 seconds to listen to it. I respond back yes or no. And the whole coaching call takes 90 seconds as opposed to 90, you know, whatever the time allotted would have been. And they get exactly what they need.
Thank you for listening to the Marketing Secrets Podcast. If you've loved this episode, then please take a screenshot on your phone and post it to Facebook, Instagram, or wherever you post stuff. And be sure to tag me and let me know why you like this episode and what you'd like to hear in the future. That'll help me to know what to create for you. Also, Dan Kenny and I would love to give you the most incredible free gift ever, designed to help you make maximum money in minimum time. And this free gift comes with almost $20,000 worth of pure money-making information for free, just for saying maybe. You can get this gift from Dan and from me right now at nobsletter.com. Not only are you going to get the $20,000 gift, you're also going to get a subscription to 2 marketing newsletters that will be hand-delivered by the mailman to your mailbox each and every month, one from Dan Kennedy and one from me. To get this gift and your subscription, go to nobsletter.com right now.